And let me just briefly say that my work has kind of uncovered at least two different types of psychological spiritual development. One is the development through structures of consciousness, and another is the development through states of consciousness. And structures are deeply subjective worldviews that govern what we see when we look at the world. And these grow and develop through a sequence of stages, and virtually any of the multiple intelligences that human beings have, whether it's ethical intelligence or mathematical intelligence or kinesthetic or interpersonal development or cognitive development, these are all structures of consciousness, and they all unfold in a sequence that cannot be altered by societal conditioning. So this sequence, to use just the generic terms for the stages in the sequence that Jean Gebser first gave them, unfolds from an archaic stage to a magical stage, to a mythical stage, to a rational stage, to a pluralistic stage, to an integrated and higher stage. And these stages govern our needs and our values and our motivations, and it's basically the lens through which we see the world, and it's how we interpret the world. And these are very well known to the culture at large, although they might not think of it in this way. But if we look at the culture wars that are so prevalent today, those are three different levels of development, three different value systems that, of course, disagree with each other because they are different stages of development. And those are the mythic stage, which governs traditional values and fundamentalist religious belief. Moses really did part the Red Sea, and Lao Tzu really was 900 years old when he was born, and etc. And about 40% of the population is at mythic stages. And then there's rational stages, and that's the governs not traditional values, but modern values. And these first emerged during the Renaissance and Enlightenment in the modern West, and introduces a third-person objective type of knowing, conditional and hypothetical, so it can understand as-if and what-if statements. And also about 40 to 50% of the population has modern values. And then the next stage is the pluralistic stage, and these are postmodern values. And so these are values of cultural sensitivity, and the cultural creatives are essentially coming from this stage, and the general postmodern approach to reality itself. And so those three, traditional, modern, and postmodern, are the three main value structures in this country, and that is because individuals are growing through those structures. Everybody starts out at birth in the archaic stage and then moves into the magic stage in general ages 3 to 5, and then into the mythic stage, which is generally ages 7 to 11, although, again, a lot of fundamentalists tend to remain at that stage, and then the rational stage, which can start to emerge from ages 11 to 15, and then the post-rational or postmodern stage, which can start to emerge in the early 20s. And about 25% of the population is at the postmodern stage. And then about 5% manages to move on into integral stages. And these are the first stages that, instead of, well, let me put it this way. All of the previous six or so major stages are often referred to as first tier. And the reason is that they all share several things in common. One of the most important is that each of those early stages thinks that its values are the only correct or true or real values in the world. So the fundamentalist thinks that his or her values are the only ones that are real. That modern values are bound for hell and postmodern values are bound for hell and so on. The modernist believes that his scientific values are the only real values, and that the traditionalist is just hopelessly outmoded, and they think the postmodernist is just too sensitive and woo-woo and new agey. And then the postmodern stage itself disagrees with all of them and deconstructs them and finds them to be nothing but social constructions. But the integral stage is the first stage that finds some degree of reality and truth for all of them. It understands that each of them has some place in the overall growth of values, and so each of these previous value structures are to be given some sort of understanding and have their own partial truths that they are bringing to the table. And so the integral stages are the first truly inclusive stages or structures of development. And these six or seven or eight, and it varies depending on which model we're looking at and which multiple intelligence we're examining the stages of, but the stages anywhere between four and five stages to eight or nine or even 10 stages. Those are extremely important because, again, they govern how we see the world, what we actually see in the world, the values that we have, how we interpret it, and so on. Now, cutting at sort of right angles to those structures of consciousness are states of consciousness. And the great traditions usually mention four or five major naturally occurring states of consciousness. And these are the waking state, the dreaming state, the deep formless sleep state, and then a fourth state that witnesses all of those and is called Turiya, which is Sanskrit just meaning the fourth. And it is pure, unqualifiable awareness that is aware of each of these previous three states as they come and go. So it's a permanent, 24-hour-a-day, ever-present awareness, which is witnessing everything as an object. And in the fifth stage, it's often called Turiya-Tita, and essentially that means one taste or non-dual awareness, and that's where this pure, formless, emptiness awareness becomes one with everything that it's witnessing, and then disappears as a separate subject. So in Turiya-Tita, one doesn't witness a mountain, one is the mountain. And one realizes that fundamentally one is actually one with everything that's arising moment to moment, and a deep unity consciousness, a deep transcendental oneness awareness comes into being. And so these last two stages are often ones that have feelings, deeply, profoundly spiritual feelings with them. The witness has a sense of complete transcendence, of going beyond the entire manifest world, of resting in infinite, vast, complete openness and fullness and infinite awareness and freedom. And the fifth, Turiya-Tita, one taste, has a sense of not just freedom, but fullness, a fullness of being, of having one's infinite self actually be one with every finite manifestation that's arising. And so this developmental sequence of moving from gross waking states into subtle dream and visualized states, and then into causal formless states, and then into the pure witness, and then into pure one taste. That sequence is the sequence that we find in virtually all of the world's contemplative traditions. So Evelyn Underhill, in her book Mysticism, for example, found four major stages that she disclosed all major Western mystics go through, and those she called purification, illumination, dark night, and unification. And that's one version of gross, subtle, causal, non-dual. Mm-hmm. And we find the same essential stages in the Eastern tradition. So what we're finding is that this unfolding of state stages, the capacity to pass through all of these states and remain conscious, that's the fundamental path of waking up. Whereas the growth through structures of consciousness is the fundamental path of growing up. And so what we want, of course, is to include both.